Well, good morning and welcome again to the live webcast here from Tree of Life Church in Chatsworth, California, and from one of our three home church fellowships. Glad to have you with us, especially if you just happen to find us on Sermon Audio's page this morning. We're so glad that you're with us, and we're right in the middle of a long study, and we hope that you'll enjoy it, but if you're not sure of where we've been, we do have recordings of all of the messages that have preceded this. Join me, if you would, though, in Ephesians chapter 4 this morning. We're continuing our study through the gift lists of the New Testament. We're studying every single one of the spiritual gifts, or what are called or identified by Paul the Apostle as the spiritual gifts of the Spirit. We've seen that all of the gifts fit into one basic category, which is that they are God's purpose for our lives to equip us so that we can accomplish the work that God has assigned to us. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But I'd like to read Ephesians chapter 4, the portion we've been camped in for the last number of weeks. And we're actually finished with this portion, but as we're moving on, I want to give it one last reading as a transition step to where we're heading. We're reading from Ephesians 4. We're going to look starting in verse 11. The he in verse 11 is, of course, referring to the Lord Jesus. The context of this passage is what happens immediately after Jesus has died on the cross, he's risen from the dead, and he's ascended back to the right hand of God in heaven, and he has sat down enthroned on his throne of glory, and having sat down on the throne, this is what unfolds. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. Jesus gave these five ministry gifts, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, to the church. And he gave them to the church through the ministry of the outpoured Holy Spirit upon the entire church. But while the Holy Spirit has been poured out upon the entire church, the specific grace of God for these particular gifts is not given to the entire church. It's given to specific individuals of God's own choosing within the church. And he gave these gifts to the church for this reason, in verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. The purpose of these specific five gifts in Ephesians 4:11 is that these are equipping gifts. We could call them leadership gifts, but the terminology that Paul uses is they're gifts given by the Lord to equip all of the other members of the body of Christ so that each one of them would be able to accomplish their own task from the Lord, their own assignment from the Lord, their own job assignment. And that when we all learn what our job assignment is and we're all equipped for that assignment, then the combination of all of us together doing the part that God has assigned causes the body to be built up, causes the kingdom to be expanded in the earth and increased in its influence in the earth, and it causes all of us to eventually reach the spiritual maturity that we're designed to walk in our relationship with the Lord. Now, turn with me from there, if you would, to our next gift list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We have completed our study through the equipping gifts. We spent a minimum of 1 week on each one of those equipping gifts, and on a couple of them, we spent 2 weeks each. I think it was maybe three of the five we spent 2 weeks, and the other two we spent a week. We're now moving into the rest of the gift list, and even though I'm not going to be, as we go forward, reviewing each week what we've covered before, I'm not going to be, after we, for instance, study the gift of prophecy or the gift of helps, I'm not going to be going back and repeating each week what each one of those gifts are. In this transition from the equipping gift study to the study of all of the other gifts of the Spirit, I want to stop and I want to briefly rehearse where we've been so that we understand as we go forward what principles were to carry into our study of each one of the gifts that are listed. We're going to study in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the first, say, 10 or 11 verses. Then we're going to skip down. We won't be there this week or next week, but we'll soon be at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just the last few verses. And then the last of the gift list that we'll be studying is in Romans chapter 12, the first 7 or 8 verses of Romans chapter 12. And as we go through each one of these, we're going to break them down gift by gift. I probably won't spend as much time on each one of the gifts that we have on the equipping gifts. I want to be clear right up front. That's not because these gifts are, quote unquote, not as important, or these gifts are no big deal, therefore we're going to just run through these gifts. The main reason we spent so much time on each one of the equipping gifts and broke them down with a minimum of a whole study for each gift is because of the unique nature of those gifts as equipping of the other gifts and the other people that have the other gifts. The other thing, of course, is that there's much more information in the New Testament on the equipping gifts than there are most of the other gifts. Many of the other gifts that we're going to be studying are just mentioned, and there is no definition, no explanation, no description given anywhere about that gift. Now, does that mean God wants to just tease us and he wants to leave us completely oblivious to what that gift is all about? I don't believe so. I think he mentions it because he wants us to think about it. He wants us to pray about it. He wants us to study about it. But we're going to have to, for those that are just mentioned without further explanation, we're going to have to draw some spiritual conclusions together. I'll give you my conclusions. They may not end up being your identical conclusions at the end of our study, but I'll give you my ideas about what I think each one of these gifts is, and in many cases, what I think these gifts aren't. Because there is, I believe, a ton of confusion out there about some of these gifts in the wider body of Christ. And when I say the wider body of Christ, of course, I'm speaking of a particular segment of the Christian community at large. And that segment is commonly referred to by these two terms. They're kind of overlapping segments of the church. The Pentecostal church, historically, and the charismatic church or the charismatic movement. These are aspects of the church, different types of churches out there that believe, like we do, that the spiritual gifts that are identified here in the New Testament are still meant to be part of the life of the church today. That not all of these gifts ended as soon as the last letter of the New Testament was finished being written. And as we studied about whether or not the gifts are continuing today or whether they ceased in the first century. We spent a couple of weeks on that particular topic. But in that charismatic community, in that Pentecostal community out there, there are lots of teachings about the spiritual gifts. I've heard probably in the course, because I kind of grew up in a charismatic church before ever the Lord ever leading us here. I've probably heard, and I've traveled in a lot of charismatic circles in my earlier years in the Lord, probably heard 20 different teachings on the gifts of the Spirit. Many more varieties and types of teachings on the gifts of the Spirit than I heard on much more important doctrinal issues, actually, like the cross or the resurrection, things of that nature. It seems to be a main focus in charismatic churches, of course. It's one of those things that distinguish charismatic churches, so you tend to get a lot of attention paid to it. But I've heard a lot of variety, and the variety tends to contradict. You know, it's one charismatic teacher teaches this thing, and the other one teaches this thing. Like, for instance, in the gift list in Romans chapter 12, that list is identified, commonly speaking, as, you may have heard this terminology, you may never have heard it, those are the motivational gifts of the Spirit, meaning that those are the gifts that identify basic heart motivations, and then we're to take that list and apply it to the other gift lists, which are the actual expressions or manifestations of the gifts. All of that is just pure speculation. There's not even a hint of that conclusion anywhere in the New Testament, and I think it's a wrong conclusion. I think it's a well-intentioned but wrong-headed conclusion to draw in the study of the gifts. So as we go through each gift individually, I'll be sharing with you what I think it is, and also in a few examples, what wrong conclusions I believe that some have drawn about these particular gifts in times past. All right, now, what are our basic principles as we as we're digging into 1 Corinthians 12 and looking at the individual gifts. These are all things that we've covered before, but I just want to briefly remind you of each one of the key principles that we've covered, because it's been a few months since we started this particular study. The first thing is this: every one of you is meant by the Lord to know what your individual gift is. God wants you to know what your gift is. He wants you to understand the nature of your gift, and he wants you to use it effectively and to be using it in the way he intended you to use it. It would be like, you know, the Lord sending you on an assignment where you're supposed to travel from one location to another, and he gave you a car to get you from point A to point B to fulfill his assignment, and you get in the car and you have no clue how to drive it. You know, it's important to know that that car has been given to you by the Lord, but it's also important to know, you know, how to turn the key, you know, how to move the steering wheel, how to shift the gears, and how to get from point A to point B. So it's important as we go through these individual gifts that we gain some practical understanding of the nature of our gifting and how, in what context, in what ways might the Lord have given me this gift for me to use. Now, with that concept, we've married our gifts with this idea of a life assignment, meaning that the Lord has a plan for your specific life, and it's a kingdom plan. It's not just what you want your life to be like. The Lord has already mapped out what your life is supposed to be like in terms of serving him in his kingdom. And the individual gift or gifts, because some of us have a single gift and some of us have more than one gift, and that's all by the Lord's determination, not by ours. Those gifts that he's given to you are going to be absolutely critical to you fulfilling your assignment. You'll never fully complete your assignment apart from your gift. For instance, this is a slam dunk. This is pretty straightforward and easy. But if my assignment is to teach you God's word, how am I going to accomplish that without making proper use of the teaching gift? You know, I could stand up here and flap my jaws and it wouldn't get any of us much further down the road towards spiritual maturity if this teaching gift wasn't applied to the teaching assignment in the right way. But it works that way for every single one of our assignments and every single one of our gifts. Now, we've identified that there's two basic categories of all the gifts. And this is apart from what we've just studied, the equipping gifts, because this applies to the equipping gifts also. But now, stepping aside from that concept, all of the gifts can be seen in two basic categories. We didn't come up with these categories ourselves. These are categories that are established for us in Peter's letter, 1 Peter chapter 4. We won't turn there right now, but we spent, you know, weeks studying that section. And that is that the two basic categories of every gift is, anybody want to help me out? Serving. No, not teaching. Speaking. So every gift that we're going to be studying is either a serving kind of gift or a speaking kind of gift. Now, in our study through all of the individual gifts, there's two basic ways we could have organized our study. Either way is valid. Wouldn't be wrong to study this subject either way. We could have organized it by those two categories, meaning let's just break out from all of the individual gift lists, all of the speaking gifts, lump them together, and study one after another all the speaking gifts. And that's actually a very profitable way to do the study. And then we would, of course, break out all of the individual serving kind of gifts and look at them together in groups. And in one sense, that would help us to just kind of organize into certain categories the various gifts. But what we're going to do is we're going to follow the example of the writers of the New Testament. This isn't necessarily a better way to study it. It's just the way that God originally revealed it. We're going to study the gift lists in their original context, meaning we're going to study them as they were given. Now, that means that we're going to be, as we go through these lists in 1 Corinthians 12, the second part of 1 Corinthians 12, Romans chapter 12, as we go through these three lists, we're going to be jumping around from speaking to serving to speaking to serving, at however the Lord arranges them in those lists. But we do want to identify for each one of these gifts which category does it belong to, just so that you know what category it is. And then as we go through the lists, of course, keeping in mind, at some point, you have to attach your name to one of these gifts. Now, I'm not saying that as soon as we go through this study, everybody here must know what your gift is. That's not the point. The point is to get you a step closer. Some of you already know what your gift is, and it's not an issue for you. But you may not have learned that the first time that you studied this. This may be for some of you just the beginning phase of the Lord bringing you into a greater understanding of your calling and your gifting. I was blessed I would consider to be a particularly great way by the Lord, because I was given understanding by the Lord within the first few months of becoming a Christian of what my assignment was and what my gifting was. Now, I didn't have all the details of that right off the bat, but I had a real strong sense right from early on that the Lord had called me and gifted me to be a teacher. And that helped me because that allowed me to, in a sense, not focus too much attention on other things where I didn't have specific grace from the Lord. It allowed me to focus my energies in those areas that I believed, by the grace of God, I would be most effective and most fruitful in kingdom service. And so the goal for you is to eventually attach your name to a minimum of one of these gifts, if not more than one, as the Lord shows you or the Lord reveals that to you. And if you have any questions about that as we're going through, feel free to interact with any one of the elders of the church or with myself, and we'll be glad to pray with you over that issue. We'll be glad to talk with you about that issue, give you our thoughts and ideas about how maybe you are or aren't gifted in that particular area, and if you are, then how it is the Lord may use you in the context of that particular gift. All right, so with all of that, let's at least start. We won't get through the list, but let's start the list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you'll join me there from the very beginning of the chapter, I'm going to read through the first 11 verses, and then we'll go back to the beginning of the actual list in these verses, and we'll tackle the first one, which is the word of wisdom. Starting, though, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware, which in a nutshell is basically the reason we're going through this whole long extended study that we're going through. The Lord's will, as expressed through Paul here, is the Lord does not want us, and the word literally is ignorant or in the dark. The Lord doesn't want us to be in the dark concerning spiritual gifts. He wants us to understand them. He wants us to make proper use of them. You know, verse 2, that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. Verse 3 is kind of a mysterious verse. I won't go off into all the detail connecting to this, but just so I don't lose you and you have at least a grasp of the basic point of verse 3. In the Corinthian community and the culture of the ancient Roman and Greek culture at that time, it was very common for there to be a mixture of different kinds of religious activity. Each city had a minimum of one temple dedicated to one of the gods of Greece and later Rome. And in those temples, there were various what we would call worship services and various spiritual activities going on. One of which that was very common and very prevalent in the city of Corinth itself was this thing of individuals that would actually, as they're worshiping in the temple that was dedicated to one of the Greek gods, they would stir themselves up into a frenzy. And in this frenzy, they would begin to speak in a quote-unquote spiritual way. They would begin to just pour forth in this frenzy of this trance-like state that they had reached. And they would say all kinds of different things in this frenzy. As you can imagine, when a person gets into a trance or a frenzy, they're going to be potentially under the influence of all kinds of spiritual influences. And so what was happening was that some of the Corinthian Christians were actually still checking in with those other activities, even though they had come to know the Lord, because there were meals that were served in those places, free meals for anyone that would go and participate in those activities. And some of the people from those groups came to check out what was going on in the Christian meetings. And so as the Christian meetings would get started, and Corinth was known for its outflow of spiritual gifts and gifting and kind of more of a loose spiritual atmosphere than many traditional churches that people are used to in our culture today. If some one of these visitors worked themselves into a frenzy during the Christian meeting and began to say all kinds of strange things, there were many in the Christian church, the Corinthian church, that weren't sure whether to encourage that. Maybe this is a gift of the Spirit, or maybe we should put a lid on this. Maybe this isn't quite a gift of the Spirit. And so Paul had to write to make sure, look, there's theological content here when the Spirit of God is moving among us. When the Lord is moving in his church, he's not going to cause someone to go into a frenzy and cry out, Jesus is accursed. You know, it's pretty straightforward. And when someone in what seems to be in a caught up moment in the Spirit declares Jesus is the Lord, you can be confident that they're not under the influence of a demonic spirit in that kind of circumstance. So he's wanting to just lay some foundational theological boundaries around the activity of the Spirit, whether the Spirit of God or other influential spirits that might be moving in the heart of a person in the meeting. So let's move on from there. Starting in verse 4, we have a basic description of that applies to all of the gifts of the Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. There's a couple of key points we just need to establish. We won't camp here because I do want to get at least to the first gift this morning. But the main points are that there is a contrast in all three of these verses, intentional contrast between the terms varieties and same. The gifts, the word that's applied to the gifts is varieties, varieties, and varieties. And on the other side of the equation, the same Lord, the same Spirit, the same God. Now, the fact that three different names are used to refer to the Lord is intended to cause us to think about the involvement of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, meaning that all of God is involved in all of the expressions of the gifts. It's common in the Pentecostal movement and the charismatic movement to kind of separate out the spiritual gifts as the special category for the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit stuff. And, you know, the Father and the Son really don't have much to do with that. Well, Paul wants the church to understand that the Father is involved in every gift of the Spirit as it's expressed. The Son is fully involved, and the Spirit of God, of course, is fully involved. Now, the varieties apply to varieties of gifts, varieties of ministries, and varieties of effects. These three words, the word for gifts here is the Greek word charisma. And that's where we get that term, charismatic. That's where we get the concept of a charismatic church. It's just simply a church that believes in the gifts. And it's a word which means the grace of God in practical expression through our lives. A specific portion of God's grace, but nevertheless, God's grace in expression through our lives. The word ministries just simply means service. There's a variety of services, different ways through the gifts that God causes us to serve him. And then the third term, there are a variety of effects, is the Greek word from which we get our English word energy, meaning that all of these things are being done by the power of God. These are not human things that we stir up within ourselves to make happen. The gifts of the Spirit are always by the energy, the power of God, and not by our own strength, not by our own energy. Now let's read on in verse 7. The actual list of the gifts begins. But in spite of the fact that there's varieties of these three things, but to each one is given, each one individual believer, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually, just as he wills. Now that last phrase, of course, just as he wills, emphasizes what we've pointed out before, which is we don't pick and choose from the list. Like if I just read you the list and said, well, which one sounds better to you? What would you like to have? It's not, we're not going through a cafeteria line, picking what we want to eat off of the menu. These are God's assignments. He's distributed to each one according to his purpose for you. And I don't care how much you try to make a different gift than the one God has given to you happen through you, you're just not going to be able to do it. Now, you can certainly, and this is sad, but I've seen this happen in the Christian community, you can really want really bad a particular gift in your life, and you can make an effort to make that gift real in your life, and you can even do things and say things that make it seem to others like you might have that gift, but it's not going to produce the fruit that God intended it to have. I've seen examples, for instance, I'll give this one example. I literally could list for you too many examples of this kind of thing going on. But I was in one situation years and years ago, before ever coming to this church, in a charismatic church where the focal point on most of the gifting was, of course, on the gift of tongues. Many charismatic churches and many Pentecostal churches overemphasize the use and the exercise of the gift of tongues. And so the gift of tongues was seen, and it was even described, and we'll talk about this more when we get to the tongues gift, but it was described as, this is the critical gift for every charismatic Christian to have. You must have this gift in order to be in the fullness of the Spirit. And so many of the meetings ended up, practically speaking, being an exercise in trying to make sure that any that were still in the group that had not yet experienced that gift would experience it before the end of the gift, or before the end of the meeting. And I was in one meeting where this one young man who was very well-intentioned, good heart, really wanted to serve the Lord, was trying to help this other young woman to speak in tongues. Well, right there, I mean, just that description should tell you there's a problem here. One person trying to help another person to do this gift that clearly, if the Lord had given that gift to them, they would already be doing it, okay? But the bottom line is what happened was in the prayer and then the interaction and conversation in between the prayer, the man prayed for her to have the gift of tongues. The end of the prayer came. He checked in. Do you have the gift yet? No, I don't have the gift yet. I'm still not speaking in tongues. And so then the next step would typically be something like, and this wasn't exclusively to this experience, but okay, well then here's what we'll do, because nothing else seems to be working. I'm going to go ahead and pray in tongues. And when I pray in tongues, you just follow me. Just, even though you don't feel it, even though you don't sense it, you just pay close attention to what I'm saying and you say exactly what I'm saying. So he began to speak in, you know, the kind of sounds that you hear when someone is speaking in tongues. And he just literally coached her to follow his example. And she said the words after he said the words. They're unintelligible words, but words nonetheless. And at the end of her doing that for about 15 minutes, he stopped and he said, okay, you now have the gift of tongues. And convinced her, just keep talking like I just taught you to talk. Now, all of that, I believe, because I knew the man, and I knew the young woman that was following his example, I believe it was all done with good intentions. But it was all done with spiritual ignorance, and it was all done to no good effect, because she didn't walk away any more gifted than she started that experience. And he didn't do her any favors, and he didn't serve the Lord's purpose in her life. Basically, what he was trying to do, it's an old saying, he was trying to force a square peg into a round hole. He was trying to force a gift upon her that the Lord had not given her. And we'll talk as we go forward about how, but this is a key principle for every one of these gifts. No one believer has all of the gifts. And as you look at all of the believers together, there is no one gift that is given to all believers. In spite of what the charismatic church and the Pentecostal church, even though we identify ourselves as charismatic in our basic orientation, We differ on this one key point. Not all Christians are meant to speak in tongues. Not all Christians are meant to prophesy. Not all Christians are meant to teach. Not all Christians are meant to help. Not all Christians are meant to do any one gift. There is no single gift that applies across the board to every new covenant Christian. That's God's design. That's the way he meant it to be. Now, I said we would start our list, but here I am at the end of my time already. So I'm going to leave you hanging. We're going to start our study with the first of the list, which is stated in verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Next week, Lord willing, we will minimum cover those first two gifts. We may, because I had anticipated getting further today, we may be able to actually accomplish three gifts next week. But a minimum, we're going to tackle as we go forward, a minimum of two gifts per study until we get to the gift of tongues, which will require a little bit more detail because of all the misunderstanding in the wider Christian community, and until we get to the gift of prophecy. Those two gifts, out of all the ones that remain, I will spend more individual time. I'll probably dedicate a whole study just to those two gifts individually. All of the rest, we're going to group together in groups of probably two or three per week. And I will give you my own working definition of each gift. I'll give you a minimum of one biblical example of what I believe to be that gift in operation. And hopefully that will at least get us started to the possibility of understanding where our lives, you know, intersect with individual gifts that we're studying. God bless you. Thank you for joining us this morning. And Lord willing, we'll look forward to seeing you again for those individual gift studies next week.